course, we started with the question from the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And so we are discovering what prayer is all about. And so we are looking at this topic of prayer and the throne of grace. We looked at a lot of things with prayer, what it is, what it is not. Recently, the throne of grace. What is the throne of grace? We've been looking at a throne and seeing the issues of a throne. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse 16. This is all based upon the fact that we have a high priest. I'll tell you what, when you study the Old Testament and things, recently somebody in the church gave our family a video. It's kind of a little series of some things concerning the Old Testament sacrificial system and the priestly system that was there. And it was put on by some Jews. And it was how much of the Old Testament things pointed to what the New Testament we see. And I tell you what, I didn't understand a lot because a lot of the things of the Old Testament and the Jewish practices, boy, they're deep-seated in a lot of things. But it is amazing how every one of those things, you know, there was a picture in the New Testament of what before was just a picture. And I tell you, if we would understand some of the things of the Old Testament, I think it would be even more rich. Prompted some more desire to study Old Testament Jewish customs and practices of the Hebrews is certainly a book that addresses what used to be, but not so much of what it used to be, but look what it is now. And we now have something that was greater, someone that is greater than all those in the law, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, who went into the Holy of Holies, and he broke through that partition so that we can enter in. What a blessing that is. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 is based upon that, because he is our high priest. Now let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Excuse me. And find grace to help in time of need. As I mentioned, we've been talking about the throne of grace. We've been looking at what a throne is. A throne is something that signifies elevation, respect, honor, glory, humility as we look up, and reverence, and submission. We looked at a number of things, and of course, the idea of prayer, you know, of course, we need to look up and we need to expect and we need to look at authority and control and power from the one that's on the throne. But Spurgeon would suggest that grace is a much better word than throne. We're all undeserving. We're all undeserving. Do you realize that none of us deserves the throne? None of us. Oh, we don't deserve. You know what? It is so undeserving. None of us deserve grace. Well, that almost even the thought of, if anybody deserved grace, then grace would cease to be grace. Do you understand that? Grace is grace because of undeserving. Grace and deserving cannot mix. I'm looking for nods to see if you understand that. Grace and deserving, you can't mix. Because if it's deserving, it's not grace. It is wage. So grace has nothing to do with deserving, it's undeserving. And that's why grace is grace, because it's undeserved. I want you to think back of the throne of God in Exodus 19. Anybody think back, what's going on in Exodus chapter 19? Anybody remember without turning there? Be introduced. All right, the law. And in the story in Exodus chapter 19, where's God's throne? Mount Sinai, right? Remember, when I say his throne, God's presence was in the top of the mountain. You understand what I'm saying there? Okay, so there's God. And Moses was to go up to God and to receive what? The law. The commandments were going to be given. And do you remember in Exodus chapter 19? Why don't you go ahead and turn there? Go back. Just keep a thumb here in Hebrews. Go back to and again, it's not referred to necessarily as the throne of God, but God was up at the top of the mountain. Of course, we know that God is a spirit. He wasn't physically up there. Look at verse 12 of Exodus chapter 19. They were getting themselves ready to receive this. And verse 19, Exodus chapter 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake. No, what did I say? I'm reading 19:19. That would be the problem. Go to verse 12, okay? We're looking at verses 12 and verse 13. Okay, and so God, the Lord is speaking to Moses, verse 10, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes, be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And here's the two verses, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. Do you catch the throne of God here was approached with holiness, right? Nobody dare touch it. You touch it, you die. Human, beast, don't touch it. We think of another throne of God back in the Old Testament. We think of the tabernacle and the temple and the holy of holies. And what was the instruction for that priest who would enter in that one time of year? What did he need to make sure was right? He needed to be clean, right? He needed to be purified, no sin. He needed to be very careful. And what would happen if he did? He would die. You know, you think about the throne of Sinai, the throne of the tabernacle. Jesus has changed all that. Did you hear that? Jesus has changed all that. Oh, we could talk about the throne and the almightiness, the holiness, and the power and the glory. Is it a part of the throne? Yes. But you see, it's not just a throne that God calls us to come to him. It's the throne of grace. Honestly, before Jesus, the throne was a scary place. Do you agree? It was a scary place. I've often thought of, I'm glad I wasn't one of those priests. What would have happened to me? Now let me stop and say, by no means does grace take away the importance of being right with God. But Jesus made it not just a throne of holiness and judgment and righteousness, but a throne of grace. Grace is altogether a new idea to look at the throne. You see, back to a statement that I made just a few moments ago, we are all undeserving. Who could approach the throne at Sinai? None of us. Who could approach the throne in the Holy of Holies? Not us. But who can approach the throne of grace? Sinners that are saved by grace. And don't miss it. That's tremendous. Because when we go to the throne, we can expect great grace. Grace. What is the definition of grace? Grace is getting something that I do not deserve. I do not deserve. I do not deserve God. I do not deserve goodness. I do not deserve anything. And if truth be told, none of us deserve God's ear. Think about that in light of prayer. How many of us tonight deserve God to listen to us? Not a hand in the room. And I'm glad not to see a hand in the room, because none of us deserve. Nobody deserves. You know what? You thought for a moment that maybe you, God, listen up here. I'm speaking. Listen, we do not deserve that at all. There is no reason that God should have to listen to any of us, because we're all undeserving. But you see, it's a throne of grace. You don't have to worry whether the throne is there to listen. You don't have to worry about touching that throne lest you die. Folks, it's a throne of grace. Isn't that good news? The purpose of the throne. Think about purpose. What's the point? What's the purpose? I'll tell you, it's answered with one word. Purpose? What was God's purpose in life? Grace. Grace. There is a purpose. There is an utterance that God has to give. You know what that utterance is? It's an utterance of grace. There is a scepter that God has to give. You know what that scepter is? It's a scepter of grace. A scepter of grace, a purpose of grace, an utterance of grace, a scepter of grace. God's decrees. Decrees of grace. Gifts. All gifts of grace. In history, we look back and the kids study the different thrones. And there was the throne of Henry. And there was the throne of William. And there was the throne of this king and that king. It was the throne of that individual. Whose throne is it? Well, it was the throne of Henry's. And this is the throne of whose? Grace. God, listen to this. God is grace. It's who he is. When we go to the throne of grace, it's nothing deserved. It's nothing worthy of. But it is a throne that is extended to an undeserving individual. And the only thing that comes out of that throne is grace. 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 It is the throne of grace. Who? Grace. It is who God is. Grace is written all over the throne. All over that throne. Back in Hebrews, we're reading, this verse, the last verse of chapter 4. So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne. The throne of who? Whose throne do we come to? Grace's throne. God's throne. Is there a purpose in looking at God's sovereignty, power, majesty, holiness? Yes, absolutely. Let's remember that God is a perfectly balanced God. That for as much majesty and power that there is, there's just as much grace. There's just as much grace. Folks, I want to tell you something. You know, as scary as the throne in the Old Testament was to approach, I'll tell you that there's just as much excitement that we can go to the throne of grace, because we know that where there was the Almighty, all-powerful, holy, all-holy God, there is a God that has got grace written all over it. Practically, where does that bring us tonight? You ever feel unworthy to pray? You ever feel like you really did it in today, and I don't know that God's going to listen to me today? Now, remember that God demands that we come to Him holy. But we must remember that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as we approach Him, He's got grace written all over it. He says, Sean, you don't deserve me listening to you tonight, but I'll tell you what, because of grace, I will. You don't deserve me answering that prayer, that petition that you're giving. But you know what? Because of grace, I will. You have nothing that earns what I want to give you, but I want to give you so much, all because of grace. Very simple, folks. I just want you to understand, as we get together and pray tonight, approach it because of grace. I can come because of grace. Let's not look at the throne as some scary place to go. Oh, God, would you even, question hearing me tonight? Would you? Is the scepter out? I want to tell you something. It is. Grace is out, and we should come boldly because we know that the grace is already extended. It has nothing to do with who we are, everything to do with who He is, and that's why we can approach Him. We don't come proud. We can come boldly because of Jesus, because Jesus has paid the price. Jesus is our blood and righteousness. So as we approach the Holy of Holies, as we approach the throne, we are drenched in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what God sees. And that's why we are able to come. Grace. Now, that's just a little quick introduction to where we're going to look at a lot of things of grace. There's a lot of things. We looked at a lot of things with the throne. There's a lot of things of grace, even for, grace even abounds more than I would say the throne. And that's a tremendous thing. So I am pleased to give you in the next several weeks some wonderful things about grace that we can focus on. Grace that I would say will give us more pleasure in coming to the Lord for the things that we have petition of. Because knowing that, no, I don't deserve it. Nope, I cannot come to the Lord tonight. I don't deserve anything. None of us do, but because of grace, we can. And we do. And so tonight we come because of grace. So anyways, lots more to say. But we'll get into it very soon. All right, I want to come to prayer tonight because of grace, we need to pray.